Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Emily is so great. I'm so proud of that moment. That was so good. I would imagine that most of us have worked a variety of jobs throughout our lives, especially in the seasons of life that are a bit more revolving. So when we're a bit younger, typically in our teens and 20s, typically go through a number of jobs. And one of my worst work experiences was in a restaurant as a cold foods prep as kitchen staff in there, which I quit after one day, and I never got paid for it. So it was really like a volunteer day training and like cutting. It was pretty good. Cookie in the kitchen wasn't my favorite. And yeah, anyway, there's a number of reasons. I was desperate for work. I just married. I need a job. I walked into a kitchen. They gave it to me. And then I walked out the next day. Anyway, so that one was kind of more a volunteer thing. And funny enough, my favorite job, if we're expanding it out in terms of thinking of like work in the broadest sense, contributing, investing in the world. My favorite job was a summer volunteer gig where I was a cleaner for a summer camp. And so I cleaned toilets, cleaned rooms, and I loved it. I loved it because I loved the people that I served with. I loved the people who were leading me in that camp, and I loved the kids. I loved the purpose of that camp as well. The bottom line, kind of obvious truth, I think all of us know at some point in our lives, or it really drops when we walk through probably more difficult experiences, is that who we serve with and who we serve changes our work experience, right? Who we serve with and who we serve changes our work experience. When we work with good leadership or a good team, we know that it makes all the difference in the work itself, the things that we're actually doing. In Psalm 110, the Jubilate, as it is called in the prayer book, in the daily office of morning prayer, Psalm 110 calls God's people to do all things for God, on God's team, and in God's presence. Living and working for God and with God is what transforms our work to be joyful gratitude. So it's God himself that we are serving, who's leading us, unto whom our gift and investment is made, and then to the good of others as well. Living and working for God transforms our work to be joyful gratitude, is what Psalm 110 is trying to invite us into. It's an integration of worship and work. It calls us to live all of life before the light of God's countenance. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. This isn't to say that there aren't difficult things about work or frustrating or grieving things, even in the work that Emily named in her sharing. But it is to say that joyful gratitude in God and with God is the foundation, and it's ultimately the destiny of God's people. That's where we start, that's where we're going to end, and it's meant to be everything in between, or at least that's what we're learning throughout the in-between, that it's all joyful gratitude. Psalm 100 is addressing our motivation, our focus, our aim, the attitude with which we do all of life in worship and in work, joyful gratitude. When we are looking to God's goodness in Christ, when we're looking to God's personal love for us in Christ, it reframes our persons, our very selves. It reframes our purpose in the world. It energizes us. It fuels us to live in joyful gratitude of true worship. So verse 5, if you're following along, if you're in the worship guide, or if you're reading along in your Bible, verse 5 points us to this motivation of joyful gratitude. It's God's goodness. It's God's personal love for us. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. This is the motivation. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So what is motivating our work? That's the question that Psalm 100 invites us to. What's motivating our worship and our work is that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. The thorns, thistles, the pains of our work, whether it's our frustrations with our bosses or our coworkers, our unfulfilled desires, our unrecognized labor, bad reviews, brokenness, immaturity in others or in ourselves, none of that actually changes God's goodness. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. You find that phrase more often in environments that are much more difficult than American Christianity. All the time, God is good. Oh, wait, I got that wrong. And God is good all the time. Yeah, you know, it gets out of there. So we have the assurance of God's goodness, ultimately, in Christ. That in the face of evil, Jesus does the good will of the Father all the way down. All the way to the cross, such that good overcomes evil in the life of God's people and ultimately in all things in the end. Jesus displayed that God is good all the way down to the darkest and deepest hell inside of us and in the world. And not only is God good in spite of us, but that he's also personally loving. God works his goodness. He works that goodness in the face of evil on our behalf. It pleases him to do so, not because we deserve it, but because that's who he is. It's his love towards his people. He loves you because he loves you. He works his goodness towards us in Christ. This is our assurance that he loves us, that God is good towards us. It's Jesus' work. It's Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears that work for us. So not only displaying God's goodness over evil and even through evil, but actually delivering God's goodness to us, gifting it freely to us in his compassion and his mercy and his grace. He isn't just good in himself. He compassionately, graciously gifts that goodness to us, covers us in that goodness, and invites us into it with Christ. That in our own failing and rebellion and rejection, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. This is what we thought about in our Romans 8 teaching back in the season of Easter. Jesus loved us all the way unto death. And so how will he not love us through our work, its frustrations and its failings and its victories? To draw a little bit on Romans 5 in a different way. If God loved us while we were still sinners, while we were still in rebellion, how much more, now that we're abiding in the compassion of Jesus, will he not love us through Christ? And so the call of faith is to integrate the goodness of Christ and the love of Christ into our daily lives of work. It's to integrate them in such a way that what is drawn out of us is joyful gratitude. That's what Psalm 100 is inviting us to. Such that whatever we do in word or deed, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him, as Colossians says. Or being joyful always, praying without ceasing and giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus, as 1 Thessalonians says. Or to serve the Lord in our work with a good will, as unto the Lord, not just serving people-pleasing for eye service, but God-pleasing and joyful servanthood, as Ephesians says. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That is the refrain of the heart of the saints in worship and in work, serving the Lord with joyful gratitude. Psalm 100 is a spiritual wake-up call. It's meant to get after, awaken our motivations of why we are doing what we are doing, why or who we are the way we are. That doesn't make sense, but you get it. In our Anglican heritage, it really is a wake-up call in the daily office. That's how Psalm 100 functions, as the jubilate in morning prayer. It is meant to be the daily definition of our lives every morning and throughout the day. In morning prayer, Psalm 100 is situated as what's called an invitatory psalm. You get Psalm 95 and you get Psalm 100 as regular options in morning prayer. It's a psalm that's meant to be sung or spoken every day to invite us into a daily renewal of joyful gratitude that integrates our worship into our work and our work into our worship. Some of us grew up with enthusiastic mothers. I love that Emily just shared. I didn't even really think about that in terms of my own preparation here. And many of us probably not in a liturgical background. And so a jubilate for most of us, if we had these enthusiastic parents or mothers, looked something more like this. This is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. And so you're like, okay. I'm trying to get a little bit like, that is, yes. That is the zone in which we're talking here. It's meant to be a wake-up call. A wake-up call to joyful gratitude. In a more liturgical setting, it might sound something more like, oh, be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. Be assured that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, go your way into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be he thankful unto him and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures from generation to generation. That's what our friend Legend hears sung in the morning as we do the daily office together. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, guys. I don't know if I was quite intending for that zone, but I just hope it sticks. It is for the daily renewal of our work as worship, as joyful gratitude. Using the songbook of the saints to remind ourselves that the attitude of faith in worship and in work is joyful gratitude at all times. That's actually the invitation. It's not just the ruling requirement, although it ultimately is. Through the grace of Jesus, it's the invitation out of ourselves to step into joyful gratitude in the face of God's love towards us in Christ every day, and to let the Lord's goodness and his personal love towards us be what frames everything for us, what motivates us in how we serve and invest in the world. This is especially helpful for those of us who prefer more minor keys in our songs, perhaps, who lean towards a lilt in our musical preferences. Nothing bad about that. We'll talk a bit more about grieving and lament and frustrations in our work as we go through the Psalms. But here on the outset, we need to remember that the foundation of our worship and our work and the destiny of our worship and work is one of joyful gratitude. That through the grace of Jesus, we can stand with great joy in the light of God's loving countenance to us. And we can serve in the world from that place. That everything can then be an offering of grace, a participation in the good works that Christ has prepared for us to do. So I'd invite us this day to consider how we start our days. How do we start our days? Maybe you do need to remember how your mom would come in the morning And maybe your teenage self needs to remember that frustration and let it be transformed into faith. Consider how we might integrate a good wake-up call in our daily life. What does it mean, whether we're actually singing Psalm 100 or actually doing the daily office in that form or doing it in some other form? How are we hearing this invitation to worship and work with joyful gratitude? Consider how you can be intentional about that, either as a household or on your commute or pausing before you sit down at the computer to start your work in your downstairs office. Consider ways to integrate your worship and your work and your work into your worship, specifically to start and end and to go into everything in between into joyful gratitude, to live from that place, to hear it as an invitation of grace, to walk in the light of God's loving countenance every day. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Maybe that's it. Maybe you just take that and you just repeat that to yourself throughout the day, all day long. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the invitation to joyful gratitude. It is something that we are often far from and often confused about. And we ask for help, that you would heal us, that you would help us to see, Jesus, that your goodness is unwavering. And your love towards us endures all things. And help us to live our lives in joyful gratitude in light of that. We pray this in Jesus' name.